it was okay for me to come back, considering the total get right on account.
Morning, everyone. Happy Easter.
Everybody. For New Mexico, and we've begun looking at recovery.
Morning.
We aren't going to do anything until that peak occurs, and we're.
Not even on camera yet. There we are.
We are seated in a place like us. We are not talking. No, but she may not be talking for everybody to hear. So it depends on what.
Is weird.
Good morning. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Good morning, everyone. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I want to go over a few housekeeping matters just to make sure. Just one second here. Technical difficulties. Hang in there. Just wave your hand if you can hear me now. Okay. While Deb makes some adjustments so that there's no sounds as part of the service that shouldn't be, I just want to say a few things to you. At your end of things, please continue to be muted throughout the service, unless you're speaking or doing a dramatic reading. After I do the housekeeping notes, Sean Beaton, Gordon Beaton, Jean Gallant, Diane Trombley, and Kathy Cowan are going to do the call to worship. And so when that happens, if all of those people would unmute at the beginning and then everyone remute after Kathy has finished. Kathy, I got an email from you saying that you couldn't see the service. Has that changed?
Got it now, yeah. Somebody had turned off the video. It's there now.
Thank you. Dave Johns, you're going to be doing the first Gold of Dawn after Morgan sings. So do that without any introduction, followed by the scripture readers. And Joy is the first scripture reader. So all of the scripture readers unmute when Joy speaks. And then as soon as you have read your part, mute once again, please. I will introduce the dramatic reading called The Three Women. And I will introduce Carol, Debbie, Colin, and Brian for the prayer of confession, and Juliet for the assurance of pardon. Following that, we're going to try to celebrate communion in this fashion. So if you haven't already done so at some point, make sure that you have juice or wine or water, something that you can drink that will symbolize what it's meant to, and then some form of bread or cracker as the host. We're only able to do this because of the hard work of Mike and Debbie Hickey, the wonderful gift that Morgan shares with us so generously, so often, and of course, David. So very thankful to those people who've been here for already for a couple of hours this morning, getting ready for this service. Without further ado, let's begin our worship with the call to worship.
In this moment, we are gathered, welcoming love's return.
Our hearts are lifted. We open our eyes, we welcome love.
The tomb is empty, the stone laid bare.
The womb is full, the stones cry out for joy.
Risen One, stand among us. Speak your words of peace. Release us from our fears. Heal us from our wounds.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ is risen today. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to read a short poem, The First Gold of Dawn. The long day stretched into night. Time crept onwards towards the new day. With the first gold of dawn came a resurrection, a new hope that grew with the rising sun and went out to the waiting world.
We're going to have the scripture readers now. Joy, you're leading things off, please.
Let us pray. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You can hear me? Okay. Let us pray. Lord, as we listen to the story of Easter once again, open our hearts and minds to appreciate more the sacrifice you made to save us all. Amen. The scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. The resurrection of Jesus. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
Mark 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go out and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Luke 24, 1 to 12, the resurrection of Jesus. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened.
This scripture is from John 21, verses 1 to 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes.
John 20, verses 11 through 18. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabbi," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Of angels from heaven in answering. changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the corn was cold and chill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. Again the scene was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter. Was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass on.
Thank you so much, Morgan. That was uplifting as always. Thank you. You have heard in the, let me say this, as I said with Good Friday, what I'm trying to do through the songs we sing, the scriptures we read, the dramatic readings, I'm trying to give a complete picture of what the event was all about, the many different aspects of Good Friday, the many different aspects of Easter Sunday. So now, as you've heard through some scripture that has already been shared with you today, you're going to hear from three women who were instrumental in the resurrection story. This dramatic reading that Linda, Muriel, and Tanya are going to share with us is called simply The Three Women.
Mm-hmm. We went there.
First thing.
The three of us.
It was cold and damp.
There was a heavy dew.
You could see the sun rising.
We took some flowers.
I picked them on Friday.
And we took some perfume.
We thought there would be a smell.
You know the way corpses go.
I was scared.
It was just us.
The men wouldn't come.
They were scared like me.
We ran up the road.
We were out of breath.
But we walked to the graveyard.
We wondered about the stone.
Who was going to roll it away for us?
We should have brought the men.
But then we looked.
The stone was rolled away.
I went in first.
I was terrified.
I never wanted to go.
There was nothing there.
There were just bandages.
Right where we had left him.
But no body.
And then we heard a voice.
What, his voice?
The voice said that he had risen.
It said he wasn't there.
It said we had to tell the others.
So we have to go back.
But who will believe us?
They'll think we're mad.
We have to tell the others.
But they will never believe us.
They'll say that we are stupid women.
But the stone was rolled away.
And the body wasn't there.
And we did hear a voice.
And he is risen!
Happy Easter, everyone. I hope you're singing along with us at home. Please just let your voices go. It feels a little lonely up here, but I know I can count on you to sing along.
For many of us, this is the strangest Easter that we have ever experienced. Words like global pandemic, sheltering in place, social isolation, asymptomatic, and the World Health Organization, these words are rolling off our lips because they have recently become part of our everyday vocabulary. There is no end in sight. There is no date at which time life can return to what we used to know as normal. In the meantime, COVID-19 is having an impact on every single person in the world. I waited in the car the other day while Hannah went into the grocery store. We had already picked up the grocery order that we had called in a week before, but we needed a few more things. So I watched people in line to try to get into the store, being very careful, distancing themselves from one another. I noticed so many people in the parking lot, in the lineup, coming out of the store, wearing masks, homemade or otherwise. I felt like I was not in Canada. I was in some foreign country amid a sea of foreign behavior. John Lennon wrote a song many years ago called, "So This Is Christmas, and What Have You Done? Another year older and a new one begun." And so in 2020, this is Easter. Today, Easter Sunday is usually the Sunday with the largest or the second largest attendance in church for the year. It is always so delightful to see lovely little girls in fancy new Easter dresses. The spectacular music from the choir or the praise team or Morgan. Remember those days when ladies used to wear beautiful Easter bonnets that they would bring out on Easter Sunday? Some of us are old enough to remember that. None of that is happening this year. In my video chat this week, and they are available on our website, I talked about the blessings that can come with this kind of shutdown that we are experiencing. I talked about our need for Sabbath, our call to be still, and to find different ways to be aware of God's presence with us. I want you to remember that celebrating Easter the way that we are doing it this morning, apart from the technology, this Easter Sunday is more in keeping with biblical tradition than how we usually celebrate Easter. You've already heard today's call to worship. You heard the song, "Jesus Christ is Risen Today." The first gold of dawn that Dave read. The scriptures, the dramatic reading. The three women. We just finished singing "The Day of Resurrection." It's all there. That's the Easter story. But the biblical account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ did not begin nor end with large gatherings of Christians. The biblical account makes no mention of choirs or praise teams or dramatic readings. There was no potluck breakfast with fresh, homemade hot cross buns, fruit salad, eggs done a million different ways. The biblical good to go? Okay, sorry about that. Technical difficulties with our internet. The biblical account of Easter takes us to an empty tomb, a tomb that was emptied of death. I can't remember an Easter Sunday where I reflected upon this concept of emptiness, but that's what they found on that first Easter morning. Those three women, that's what they found. And then, of course, the men had to go and see for themselves. The women's word was not sufficient. And what did the men find when they got to the tomb? Emptiness. An emptiness that was filled with emotions like fear and confusion and disbelief. Are these the emotions that you usually bring to Easter Sunday morning? Not likely. So today here at Trinity, the parking lot is empty. There are no welcoming, smiling greeters at the door. Our sanctuary is not packed with worshipers eager to enjoy this year's Easter celebrations. The choir and the praise team are not rehearsed and ready to lead us in songs of new life. Instead, this familiar, well-loved place, it's empty. And it is an emptiness that is testimony to the reality that lives are being saved. Emptiness was a confusing but ultimately good thing on that first Easter morning. And today it is also ultimately a good thing. Emptiness of that tomb in Jerusalem so long ago, it was life-giving. By abandoning our favorite gathering place today, we are participating in a worldwide practice that is life-giving, albeit in a very different kind of way. We're not abandoning the gospel, far from it. We are testifying to what that white-robed messenger announced at the tomb. He is not here. According to the Gospel of John, the resurrected Jesus made his first public appearance with some of the disciples who were also self-isolating. They were huddled together in fear behind a locked door. Obviously, their social isolation was for a very different reason than ours. But you need not worry. Christ will find us. Christ will find us this Easter wherever we are and with whomever we have isolated ourselves. He always has. He always will. This Easter Sunday, we remember the emptiness of that tomb on that very first Easter morning. And this Easter morning, we recover the significance of that emptiness in a new and important way. It's an emptiness that speaks of new life. We're going through something very serious right now. It is a matter of life and death. So the church needs to be empty right now. This is a life-giving measure that we are taking. On that first Easter Sunday, it became apparent that from that emptiness that the crucified Christ had risen. He had risen indeed. May the peace of Christ in these very strange times be with you. In this time of isolation, and even in this emptiness. Happy Easter. God bless you. Amen. I want to now invite Carol Saunders, Debbie Thompson, Colin Cooper, and Brian Lawton to do a prayer of confession, followed by an assurance of pardon by Juliet Woodfield.
The crown of thorns has played its part. It was used to mock Jesus when the crowd jeered Jesus as Jesus made his way to the cross. But now we laugh with joy, for the crown of thorns could not weaken love.
The robe has played its part. It humiliated the dying Jesus. As thoughtless soldiers rolled dice to win it, but now love wins, for the robe could not diminish the spirit of Christ.
The cross has played its part. It was used to bring suffering and death, and those who loved Jesus stood beneath it and cried. But now our tears are dry, for the cross cannot kill love.
The stone has played its part. It was placed over the tomb of Jesus to satisfy the fears of the leaders in charge of death. But now we celebrate new life, for the grave could not imprison the Spirit of God.
Those things that once played a part in the death have become symbols of resurrection in the Spirit of Christ. We know that love cannot be weakened or diminished or imprisoned or killed. Not then, not now, not ever. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you very much. We are now going to celebrate together the sacrament of Holy Communion. Let us pray. Come, Father of the poor, come, light of our hearts, come, generous Spirit. By the glory of your creation around us, by the comfort of your forgiveness within us, by the wind of your Spirit flowing through this place, renew us so that we might come glad to this celebration. Amen. The table of God's gifts is now ready. It is the table of company with Jesus and with all who love him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world with whom Jesus himself identified. It is the table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table. All of you who have much faith, and all of you who would like to have more. Come to this table, all of you who have been to this sacrament often, and you who have not been for a very long time. Come to this table, all of you who have tried to follow Jesus, and all who have failed. It is Christ himself who invites us here. Blessed is our brother Jesus who walks the road of this world's suffering with us and is with us to the end of the road. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and after giving thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, broken for you. Whenever you eat this, remember me." And in the same way, he took the cup, and when he had poured it out, he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink this, remember me." It is through the goodness of God that we have this bread and this cup to offer and to share, which earth has given and human hands have made. In the sharing of the bread and in the sharing of the cup, may we know the power of the resurrection. What we do here is celebrate the life that Jesus first shared with his disciples, and which has been shared down through the generations, and which he shares with us now. Made one with Christ, made one with each other. Let us receive these gifts with humility and with thanksgiving, a holy living sacrifice. Let us pray. Hear us now, O Christ, and breathe your spirit upon us and upon this bread and this cup. May they become for us the symbol of your body and your blood, vibrant with your life, healing us, renewing us, making us whole. And as the bread and cup which we now eat and drink are changed into us, may we be changed into the likeness of you, loving and caring in this world. Look, the body of Christ is broken for the life of the world, and the blood of Christ is shed for the life of the world. Here is Christ coming to us, symbolized by the bread and by the cup. The body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. Lord, rejoicing in the communion of saints, we praise your name, most holy God. We give you thanks for all your servants who lived for you, those who departed in the faith, and those who are now at peace with you. We thank you for all saints of every age, especially those who have been dear to us, mothers and fathers, brothers, sisters, spouses, partners, children. We thank you, Lord, for all those who in the faith have led us to you. We pray that we may follow their faith and their example until that time when we feast with them in your heavenly kingdom. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we might go out into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others in your name. Lord, in this time of prayer, we can't help but think of our frontline workers, wherever they are, in hospitals, nursing homes, the food service industry, grocery stores, the trickle-down effect of this pandemic is touching the lives of so many people in so many different ways, and we think of those who are struggling financially because of this, for those who are suffering emotionally and those with mental health issues. Lord, there are so many people in so many situations on our hearts and minds. So we just take this moment in silence, Lord, for those faces and those names and those situations to move across the screen inside our own minds. Lord God, in these difficult times, help us to be creative in finding new ways to reach out to support and encourage others. Help us to be inventive while staying healthy and safe ourselves, Lord. How can we send words of blessings and encouragement to those who need it so much? We pray for those, Lord, who are grieving the loss of loved ones, whether it be from COVID-19 or just people who have passed away in the midst of this, and it has truncated all forms of grief and healing that comes from social interaction. Funerals that needed to happen, weddings that have been rescheduled, family times, Lord, there is so much impacted by this virus. Help us to continue to be sensitive and your disciples in and through all of this. We pray all of this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray together to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
please join us for our final hymn, number 255, Now Let the Vault of Heaven Resound.
Thank you again, Morgan. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in this morning. Excuse me. You will have noticed that there was no time for offering during the service. So I want to encourage you to continue to be faithful with your offering, either through our website or the post office or e-transfers, however you would like to do that. We still have to pay for the lights and all the expenses of the church, and we really, really appreciate your support as we continue to go through this time together. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank all the participants in today's service who read various parts of the service through scripture and dramatic readings and prayers. Again, to Morgan and David and to Deb and Mike, this is a team effort. And I thank everyone for your willing and very talented participation to make this happen. God bless each one of you. As we go out from this time today, I encourage you to look for ways to stay connected. look for ways to share God's light, God's love. Look for ways in this emptiness and this isolation to fill it with God's gift of grace and unselfishness and encouragement. Until we meet again, may God hold each and every one of us in the palm of his hand. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.